well done, well done, well done. Are you working to hear God say? Are you gonna stay on the battlefield for my Lord?
Somebody would lift a voice and say that with you. He's all right. He's all. Somebody over yonder still in said. Somebody here in the choir still in said. Somebody up yonder then said. I'm gonna say it one more time. And if you know the Lord been all right with you, if you're not judging because he hadn't been fair, but he's been a just God, let me hear you say, he's all right. He's all right. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? Ain't he got power wrapped in his hand? Oh, he's all right. He's all.
Oh, he's a wonder. In my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's gonna be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves.
What y'all doing outside? Your son in there teaching, preaching the word of God. Why ain't y'all in there supporting him? Other folk mamas in here? Other folk brothers in here? Why ain't y'all in there supporting him? And they want to send somebody in with that Baptist finger. Yes, sir. Why he up there teaching? Hey, Jesus, your mama and your brothers outside. They said, come here. The Bible says, Jesus said, who my mama? Who my brothers? And he looked around at those seated around him. I said, right here is my mama and my brothers and my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my mama, my brother, and my sisters. And watch this, y'all. He never went out there to see what they wanted. Because, Troy, if you're not careful, you can allow your family to take you away from your assignment. If you're not careful, your family can take charge of you rather than God being in charge of you. Because notice, his family came to take charge of him. As if to say, you belong to us. You do what we tell you to do. And he never went out there to see what they wanted. He said, right here is my mama and my brother. See, watch this, y'all. Sometimes, don't miss this now. Sometimes your closest family is your spiritual family. Some of you all are more closer with your spiritual family than you are your biological family. Once you give your life to Jesus, you not only get another father, you get another family. I wish I had a witness here. We're more than just First Salem. We're more than just a church. We're more than just a body of Christ. We're more than just saints. We are a family. White and black. Gary. We are family. I got all my sisters. You know it. What? Y'all come to church, they ain't all holy like y'all don't know that. That's why Paul says all in the Bible, Tanya, brethren, 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 brethren. He kept saying brethren, brethren. He was reminding them, your family. He even told Timothy, treat the older men as fathers. Don't be harsh. He said that to a pastor. Don't be harsh when you rebuke an older man. Treat them as fathers. Treat the young men as brothers. Treat the older women as mothers. Treat the young women as sisters with all purity. Because we are family. And watch this. When you can't get the love and support from your biological family, realize they ain't the only family you have. When I can't get it from them, I'll just get it from my spiritual. I get it from my spiritual sister. Hallelujah. Your mama passed and gone. You're going to miss mama, but find another mama. I'm going to lean on you now, mama. Thought my biological daddy was leaving me. I was trying to figure out, who am I going to lean on now? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Your picture came to mind. I got family. Quit looking at who you don't have. And start looking at who you do have. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, quit looking at who you don't have.
look at the brother who you do have. Every time we come together, it's a family affair. Y'all not praying with me here. Matter of fact, the church ought to be symbolic of heaven. Heaven is a family affair because only the family of God will be in heaven. Y'all ain't praying with me here. That's why every time I bring my family to the house of God, I'm reminding my biological family, we are part of another family. We are part of a greater family. We are part of a spiritual family. We are part of the family of God. This is the only family that's going to heaven. In heaven, there will be no Moors. In heaven, there'll be no Tatums. In heaven, there'll be no Reese's. In heaven, there'll be no Bailey. Hello, somebody. In heaven, it's just going to be the family of God. This is the only eternal family there is. If you see him as a musician, you'll treat him as a musician. But if you see him as a brother, you'll treat him like a brother. Y'all ain't praying, man. If you see him as a drummer, you'll treat him like a drummer. But if you see him as a brother, you'll treat him like a brother. If you see him as deacons, you'll treat him as deacons. But if you see him as family, you'll treat him like family. If you see him as a choir, you'll treat him like a choir. But if you see your family up there, you'll stand up and support him while they're singing. Hello, somebody. Because you support family. Watch this. I got close. Watch this. No matter where you go, you have family there. Amen. Y'all missed it. No matter where you go in the United States, even in other countries, you got family there. I never forget, my daddy told my brother Prophet, it's 11 of us. Patrice, Bertrand, Bertrand, Bertophilus, Bertrand, Bertrandette, Bartholomew, Bertrina, Bertabitha, Bertrick, and Bertthaddeus. That's all of us. The next one they said should be birth control, but. And then we get my brother Prophet, went to OBU in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And my daddy told him, son, now that you're enrolled, find your family. And he was talking about the family of God. Find a church home where you can serve God. Find your family. And my brother Prophet found a church, New Hope. He joined it. Started picking up guitar. Prophet, faithful to that church, faithful. Prophet, sophomore year, he wrote all of his older brothers and sisters a letter asking us to help him get a car. He wrote us all letters, but y'all help me get a car. I really need a car bad to do what I need to do. I'm like, wow. So I waited about a week just to see how serious he was. And after a week, I called him. I said, hey Prophet, I got a little money for your car, man, so give me an address where you want me to send it. He said, Bert, that's okay, man. I got my car now, man. I said, you got a car? Yeah, I got a car, Bert. I said, okay, well, let me help you with the note, man. Give me the address, I'll help you with the note. He said, Bert, it's paid for. I said, Prophet, you have a car and it's paid for? Yes, sir. I said, how did that happen? He said, man, this church where I joined, the deacon, man, he gave his daughter a new car and just gave me her old car. When I couldn't get no help from my biological family, it was given to me by my spiritual family and paid for. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And watch this. This is going to really blow your mind. The third Sunday in July, I'll be going to Shawnee. My brother will be installed as pastor of that church. Yeah. 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 Prophet, realize y'all not the only family I have. Yeah. They saw me trying. They saw me struggling. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, write this down. You have to reconsider your expectations. Go to Luke 21. Reconsider your expectation, because watch this. Many times you expect family to have your back. You expect family to support you. You expect family to be there for you. And Jesus says, now look, you need to reconsider your expectation. He said, I'm going to give you the itinerary, so don't be surprised when this happened now.
Luke 21, look what he says, verse 12. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogue, put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to thee. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Watch this now. You will be betrayed. So don't be surprised. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win in life. In other words, reconsider your expectation. He's saying you just expect family to get behind you now that you're working for the Lord and you're serving God. You just expect them to support you. You expect them to have your back. It's not going to happen. He's saying you're going to be betrayed. Even by your own parents, your brothers, your sisters, relatives. Matter of fact, everybody going to hate you. Quit talking about haters. Because he told you, everybody going to hate you. Not a hair on your head. So in other words, reconsider your expectation. When you start serving God, quit expecting so much from your family. Joseph learned the hard way. Don't tell your family your dreams, buddy. One of the main persons that tried to distract David from fighting Goliath was his own brother. David, shut up. You can't handle this. You cocky and arrogant. David looked at him like T.I. and said, you don't know me. When you see me in the street, remember, you don't know me. Holler when you see me. You don't know what I've been dealing with out there with them sheep. Got the tail saw. Don't listen to my brother. Look at your neighbor and say, reconsider your expectation now. Sometimes it seems like when you get saved, family starts, you know, you start getting active in church. They the main one give you hell once you start getting busy in the church. Y'all wanted me saved, now I'm in here. I had wives. They want their husband, Pastor, pray for my husband. Oh, pray that he come to church. Pastor, pray for my husband. I'm just believing God for him. Will you please God with me, Pastor, for my husband? I talked to their husband. We pray for husband. He finally come to church. The spirit move. He come and get saved. And she's standing there, thank you, Jesus. And now he get active in the church. We had more fun when he wasn't in the church. Now all he want to do is go to church. Is he just... He's involved in everything. Y'all ain't praying with me. You know, I got close. I pastored in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and Louisiana. But in Mount Pleasant, I have family that's 12 miles up the road from me in Dangerfield, Texas. Now one of them Negroes go to my church. I expect them to come. We family. Some of them are not members of anybody's church. They won't come 12 miles up the road, but let one of them die. Call Bailey. Call your cousin. Call your cousin. Call Bailey. Tell him to get up here. His cousin died. He tell him to bring that keyboard. Tell him he want him to sing. He want him to preach. This is his cousin. Tell him to come out. And you know what I tell him? Hell to the no. To the no, no, no. Hell to the no. To the no, no, no. I'm sorry. I ain't coming back no more. I'm sorry. No Don't be complaining to Pastor tomorrow night. Pastor, I don't know about Bailey. He be up there cussing. I'm saved. I still cuss a little bit. Y'all pray for my deliverance and my strength in the Lord. The Lord said, Bailey, quit expecting so much from your family. And boy, it hurt. And preachers, y'all know what I'm talking about. You be up there preaching your heart out, and don't nobody be saying amen. And then you look over and your wife ain't even saying amen. Now, I can take them folk ain't saying amen, but doggone it. Honey! She be over there. Now that'll make me cuss in the mic. Man, one time I preached three times. And I'm riding the car with my wife. I preached three times. I said, "Whoa, baby, I'm tired." She said, "I'm tired too." I said, "You tired?" She said, "Yeah, I'm tired too." I said, "You ain't preached three times." She said, "I heard you preach three times." Look at your neighbor and say, reconsider your expectation. And then lastly, as I close for real, write this down, reserve your judgment. When it comes to your family, reserve your judgment. Go to Acts 1, look at this, reserve your judgment. Whatever happened to Jesus' brothers? Did they ever come around, Reverend? Whatever happened, did they ever get behind them? Did they ever change? Look at Acts 1. Look at what it says, verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, watch this, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Watch this, y'all. They ain't outside no more. They came to believe in him. Just because your family don't believe in you today, that don't mean they're not going to believe in you next month, next year. They changed. They came to believe in their big brother. Jesus. See, that's why you need to reserve your judgment. Because when you stand in judgment of somebody, you're stating their end. And the reason why you shouldn't judge is because you don't know a person's end. Yeah. Right. Just because they messed up today don't mean they're going to be messed up tomorrow. Right. Hello, somebody. Just because they're doing wrong today, that don't mean they're going to be right next week. Right. Some of the folk who you think are the worst, those are the ones God uses the best. So don't give up on your mother. Don't give up on your father. Don't give up on your sister. Don't give up on your brother. Because the same Jesus that changed his brothers is able to change your brothers. Jesus had a brother named Judas. And when Judas, the brother of Jesus, came to believe in his big brother, he shortened his name from Judas to Jude. He's the one who wrote "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." That's right. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, don't give up on your family. Because anybody God makes, he can fix." I never forget, I came to church one day, and there was a little boy. He was in the preacher's chair in the pulpit. And I came in, and before I could say anything to him, his mama got him and said, come here. Come here. And the boy came over there. He said, ma'am. She said, listen here. Don't you ever let me catch you in that seat. Do you hear me? Don't you ever let me catch you in that seat. Do you hear me? I felt scared for the boy. I was over there like this. I was scared to sit in my own seat. And then I thought about it. God is saying, that judgment seat, don't ever let me catch you in that seat. Do you hear me? That judgment seat, you stay out of that seat. Even when it comes to your family, stay out of that seat. Because anybody God makes, he can fix. And you don't believe me? A majority of the New Testament was written by a murderer named Saul. One of the main persecutors of the church became the main promoter. Because even while Stephen was being hurt, he was praying for him. Lord, don't charge this to him. Put it on my account. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't give up on your family. God is able to turn your brother around. God is able to turn your family around. Is there anybody in the building that can testify? God is able to turn. He's able to turn family around. Ain't God all right? I gotta close here now, but I'm reminded of a young man. He was 13 years old. His mama passed and went home to glory. She had to go and live with his father, who did not believe in God. His father, hated the church. His 13-year-old boy had to live with his daddy. On Sunday morning, the little boy asked his daddy, can I go up the street to that church? Father said, son, if I hear you've been in that church, I'll beat your tail. You stay out the church. Do you hear me? Stay away from the church all along. But every Sunday morning, that little boy would go out on the porch. He could hear that church praising God up the street. That little boy would be on the porch rocking, singing as he heard the church up the street praising God. Folk ought to hear us praising the Lord. You don't know who can't come to church, but our praise ought to carry up the road. Ain't God all right? Well, one Sunday morning, the boy's father had to work 7 to 3. And that boy, 10:30, sat out on the porch waiting for the church to strike up, start praising God. When 3 other little boys were headed to church, they saw him on the porch. They said, hey, man, come on. Come on and go to the house of God with us. Little boy said, no. Remembering what his daddy told him, he said, I'll be all right. I can hear y'all from right here. I'll be all right. The boy said, no. Man, you ain't got to hear from right there. Come on. Come on and go to the house of God with us. The little boy said, well, my daddy don't get home to 3. What time do y'all really get out? They said around 1:30. He said, I got time. Jumped off the porch. He said, let's go. Holy wind.
to the house of the Lord, that the Lord sat in there.